Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Ryan Waite, Partner Director for Development for Technical Computing and past General Manager for Windows HPC Server, Microsoft Corporation. Ryan, you have a remarkable background with many successes. Thank you for sharing your considerable expertise, insights, and wisdom with our audience. Now, Ryan, can you share with us some of your background and profile some of your history?
Yeah, so I've been with Microsoft for 19 years, and I've done a number of different roles at Microsoft. Some of those roles have been in areas like software testing, software development, program management, and most recently as a manager that runs all of those disciplines as the general manager for high-performance computing. I think some of the things that have really surprised me in my career is that it's hard to underestimate the value of making things simpler for people. So many of the big breakthroughs that Microsoft has had have been around how we make complex technologies more available and easier to use for an increasingly large set of people that have computers as part of their everyday life. One of my first projects was Microsoft Exchange Server, and that was a fantastic product because it was just as internet email was really hitting the mainstream. And one of the things we built into Exchange was the ability to plug into SMTP-based mail. Because before that, a lot of corporate mail was all X400-based mail, but the kind of revolution of the internet hitting right back when we were doing Exchange Server was fantastic. It was a great place to be. After that, I worked on Small Business Server, and on Small Business Server, I was specifically responsible for the design of all of the networking and messaging features in Small Business Server. But what Small Business Server was about was taking all of the big enterprise computing products like SQL and Windows Server and Exchange Server, IIS, all those technologies, and packaging them up in a single server product that small businesses could use to compete against big businesses. It was a fantastic kind of transformation in the industry, and again, a great place to be as we enabled these small businesses to harness the power of the internet. And kind of the transformation there was, you know, that we were beginning to see things like ISDN was just finishing up its lifetime, and we were moving into cable modems and the ability for small businesses to really get connected easily to the internet. HPC Server is, of course, closest to my heart. It's the most recent product that I worked on, and it was also the most technically challenging because we had to integrate technologies for deployment and management of clusters, as well as job scheduling technologies and parallel programming technologies. And just the sheer scope of that was totally impressive. And it's a product that we've been successful with. We are now seeing categories of users that were not able to use supercomputing resources in the past able to harness that power. It's the democratization of high-performance computing. It's been fantastic.
You know, you talk about the democratization of high-performance computing. So let's kind of drill that, you know, down further into that about combining the power of the cloud with technical computing and enabling the masses with what-if questions and so on. So with regard to that, can you profile some of the outcomes and lessons from the Supercomputing 2010 conference that you're currently at?
Yeah, so the conference has been great. First, the cloud is kind of everywhere here at the conference. And while part of that is a little bit of hype, I think we're beginning to see that people are really understanding the power of cloud computing and how cloud computing can impact the supercomputing industry. One of the things that we're announcing this week is the availability of Service Pack 1 for Windows HPC Server 2008 R2. And this is, Service Pack sounds, you know, like something where we'd ship out a bunch of bug fixes in the product. In this case, it's that we're shipping a new feature. And this new feature is a set of wizards that integrate your cluster, your on-premise cluster, with the cloud. So from a seamless console, you have the ability to look at local computation resources as well as cloud computation resources. And this is really resonating well with customers because the cloud is not revolutionary. The cloud is evolutionary, especially in supercomputing, where people have big supercomputers already, and they need to understand how they can kind of burst their workloads, the peaks of their workloads, off-premise and into the cloud. You know, sometimes they'll have a big pile of work that shows up, and they need to run that up in the cloud in order to be able to meet their service level agreements with their customers. And the integration between Windows HPC Server and Azure really provides that kind of integration. Some of the really incredible things also happening at the conference are how people are running huge computations in the cloud that were impossible for them to run before. A lot of people don't have access to a gigantic supercomputer. They only have access to maybe a moderate-sized cluster, or maybe they only have a set of workstations. Like, you can imagine that maybe you're a computational biologist and you're doing genomics research, and you have a small cluster at your company, but maybe you want to do something really big. That's very similar to what we just did a few weeks ago and what we're announcing at this show, which was this gigantic BLAST run. BLAST is the tool that's most often used by genomicists and proteomics researchers to do analysis of genetic material. We did a run which was the first what's called an all-against-all comparison of the 10 million known proteins in the NCBI genomic database. That all-against-all comparison was 100 billion comparisons using Azure and running that code that's called BLAST across 4,000 Azure instances. And all of the scientific results that we got were, you know, publishing back out to the scientific community. That kind of computation was just impossible for people to imagine in the past because it requires enormous numbers of computational resources just to do one big run. And with the cloud, you can do that. You don't have to buy that gigantic cluster. You can use resources that come from Microsoft.
Well, that's a remarkable story, and I can see all the benefits. So what is the future of the cloud and technical computing?
Well, I really think about the cloud as kind of like Beowulf 2.0. You know, the first Beowulf clusters were built back in the 90s. They were built at NASA, and these were, you know, a set of servers that were all plugged in together, and they were using, you know, Intel processors and, you know, maybe 10 megabit Ethernet. And I'm sure a lot of people looked at those first clusters and thought, wow, this is way too hard. You know, it's really hard to program these systems. 10 megabit Ethernet is really slow. I'm just not sure that this is ever going to take off. But by any measure of success, cluster-based supercomputing has been revolutionary. You know, it dominates the top 500 list of most powerful supercomputers are based on clusters. You know, the number of companies that are building software for those packages are it's just enormous. So I think the cloud is in the same place. We're right at the beginning of cloud computing, and we're going to see that the cloud is going to continue to evolve in some really amazing kinds of ways, where right now we're doing things kind of the way that we did cluster-based supercomputing. But the cloud itself actually has some pretty interesting kinds of attributes which will evolve as time goes forward. So I think this is a very exciting time for the cloud, and it's very exciting to be part of that evolution.
So do you see a tie-in between consumer computing with mobile devices and smart devices and also in the cloud?
You know, I can. The mobile device space and the way that it integrates into the cloud, I think, is going to be a bit different than the way that we do things on the supercomputing side. On the supercomputing side, it's really about huge-scale data and huge-scale computation. You know, the problems that we struggle with are things like, how do we tame this massive deluge of data that's coming out of all of the different kinds of scientific research? And we keep thinking about, how do we get to deeper and deeper levels of computation? One of the things that one of our partners at the Tokyo Institute of Technology is doing is simulating the way that the heart beats. And in the past, when we simulate the way the heart beats, we take a lot of shortcuts. Like, we actually convert the heart into something that behaves a lot more like rubber. And then we simulate that kind of stretching and contraction that occurs with heart beating. But with the kind of supercomputer that they're running at Tokyo Institute of Technology, they're able to simulate it, the heart beating at the cellular level. That is, they're simulating every single cell that makes up your heart and the way that that heart beats. And it takes about 3 or 4 hours on that gigantic supercomputer to simulate a single heartbeat, but we will be able to look at a totally different understanding of the heart and the way that it relates to the rest of our body because of being able to do that super fine-grained computation. So it's going to be revolutionary. That supercomputer is called the Tsubame 2 cluster, and Microsoft ran our software on there, and we were able to demonstrate over a petaflop of computing power on the Tsubame 2 cluster. And, you know, a petaflop is just... It's an enormous amount of computing power, and it demonstrates that not only the power of Windows to run on these most impressive types of supercomputers, but that we can actually harness that kind of supercomputing power to have new discoveries in science and research.
You know, those are some really exciting success stories around the themes of the conference. Do you have any others that you can share?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's really, it's one of these technologies that is in some ways a little bit of a sleeper, but is one of the most profound changes happening to our industry is the advancement of multi-core technologies. And what we see is this is not just true for people in the supercomputing space, but for all of us in computing, we have to understand how to take advantage of multi-core technologies. that processors aren't necessarily getting faster anymore. You know, we're not seeing that we're able to boost the clock rates anymore. What we have to do is embrace the parallelism, these kinds of multi-core technologies that are coming along. And through the multi-core tools that are built into Visual Studio and released as part of Visual Studio 2010, we enable application developers that are maybe not, you know, PhDs in computer science to go ahead and write great multi-threaded and multi-core applications. And that applies to everybody. That applies from people in the supercomputing industry all the way down to folks in the mobile space, since I expect that we'll see multi-core technology impacting that industry pretty soon as well.
Well, that's sort of a remarkable solution, because parallel programming has, and multi-core, it's been a real challenge, hasn't it?
It sure has. You know, 15 years ago, I was a performance developer on Exchange Server, and one of the things that we were struggling with was how to go from two CPUs to four CPUs. And we were great at writing multi-threaded code. Like, we had tons of threads running on those machines, but the struggle was, for us, something called context switching, you know, where you spin up a thread, it runs on one core for a little while, and you make a call to the operating system, maybe to get some data or something, you read something off of disk. And while you're waiting for that, the operating system puts that thread into a pause state, and they run something else. Well, when that data comes back, the operating system wakes you up, and it may wake you up on a different core. When that happens, that's called a context switch. All of the information associated with your thread is moved from one core to another core. And if you're doing that hundreds of times per second, that can actually impact the ability of your application to scale, because you're spending so much time doing context switching, you're not able to really scale up to a higher and higher number of cores. That was something that we struggled with on Exchange Server, and we had a lot of really talented Microsoft developers, you know, working on solving that problem. Now, if we want to take multi-core to the masses, we need everybody to be able to see those types of problems and to solve those types of problems on their own. And these people may not be computer scientists by training. They might actually be a computational biologist or a quant that works in a financial institution. How do we help them? So in Visual Studio, we provide a set of tools that help people see those kinds of performance issues in their code and take action against them. My favorite tool is the Parallel Performance Analyzer, which ships as part of Visual Studio 2010. It's a great way to be able to visualize the way that your multi-threaded application is running and to make corrections to that code so it runs more efficiently in a multi-core environment.
So where can we find out more about all of this area that you're just talking about? What are the best resources?
Well, I certainly think that the Microsoft website is a great place to go and learn more about the technologies that Microsoft is putting together. The webcasts and the white papers that have been provided, not only on the parallel computing platform, which is our multi-core technologies as part of Visual Studio, but also the webcasts and technologies we provide as part of Windows HPC Server are really outstanding. And a great place is, you know, Microsoft.com/HPC.
Okay, this is sort of a free-form question. Like, you choose the topic area, and what do you see as three top challenges facing us today?
Wow, so three top challenges. I would say, like, one of them is how we harness and continue to mature the cloud as part of cloud-based computing. The example we talked about earlier with the gigantic blast run and being able to do huge genomic analysis in the cloud is a great example of what we can do now, but that technology needs to continue to evolve and enable us to do all kinds of scientific research on the cloud. This is a very exciting time for cloud computing. The second thing that I see as a big issue for us is how do we broaden the application development community that's able to use supercomputing resources? Over and over again, I run into people that are interested in being able to do larger scale simulations, but they're not quite sure how to get there. One of the things we support in Windows HPC Server is the ability for people to use Excel as a kind of programming environment to do large-scale simulations. We have a bunch of people that came back and said that, you know, 65,000 rows is not enough inside of Excel. They need more. So how can we help those people out? You know, all of those people that need more than 65,000 rows are people that are doing some pretty big modeling. And so with Windows HPC Server, we provide the ability to offload some of that modeling into a cluster and be able to do large-scale simulation. One of our customers went from a set of workbooks that was taking them about 7.5 days to compute down to a few hours, because a lot of these problems are embarrassingly parallel and can scale beautifully across a set of cluster resources. So that second problem is, how do we broaden the community of people that can use these big parallel resources? I think the third biggest issue is just getting more people into the parallel computing space. You know, that this is a very exciting part of the industry, and whatever we can do to help people make the transition into parallel computing is profound. There have been a number of research papers that have been published that show that one of the top five problems, you know, in the top five, the problems that different companies face is the ability to find great talent to do supercomputing work. And that's something that Microsoft really believes in solving, both with the resources we provide in HPC server and the way that we democratize high-performance computing, as well as the way that we will use HPC server as a way to continue to democratize all types of parallel computing, be it on a client, the cluster, or in the cloud.
Brian, we're going to put you on the spot here, and we're going to close off with something maybe a little bit more lighter in terms of content. Can you share maybe your favorite Gates or Ballmer story?
My favorite Gates or Ballmer story? Wow. That's actually a really interesting question. You know, I would have to say, like, I think perhaps my favorite meeting with Bill Gates was, we were doing a discussion with him on the, right at the beginning when we were starting HPC server. Bill used to want to meet with us every 4 months to kind of see how things were progressing. And we were having a discussion with him on scientific workflow, and it was perhaps the nicest meeting I've ever had. He was just in a spectacularly good mood. And at the end of the meeting, I turned to one of my colleagues and I was like, wow, I wonder, like, he was just smiling the entire time. He was just like, you know, just overjoyed with kind of what was going on. And I think only part of it was us. Like, what else was going on? He's like, oh, this is his last meeting of the day. He's headed out to get on a plane to fly to the UK and become knighted by the Queen. So anyway, it was a kind of hilarious thing to see him looking so happy. So it was great.
Okay, let's put you on the spot again. Your favorite Ballmer story.
Oh, my favorite Ballmer story. We just had a great review with Ballmer just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it's hard for me to come up with a specific quote that he said or anything like that, but the thing that I really love about Ballmer is that he's so passionate about what we do. And he's just like a really inspiring kind of person at the head of the company. The kinds of things that he's pushing are hard decisions. He's really pushing us to think harder as a company about how we do things like high-performance computing and how we work in that just this incredible evolving market. I just love that he's such a passionate and driven kind of individual.
Well, Ryan, you know, you are an internationally renowned expert and executive, highly respected throughout the worldwide community, and we were really fortunate to have you come in to do this interview with us, and especially with your extensive history of successes. So thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Ryan Waite, Partner Director of Development for Technical Computing and past General Manager for Windows HPC Server, Microsoft Corporation.